Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and I'd like to welcome you to SMU's Q1 2023 conference call. At this time, all participants' lines are in listen-only mode. The format of the call today will be a presentation by the management team, followed by a question-and-answer session. Without further ado, I would now like to pass the line to Ms. Carolyn McKenzie, the Head of Investor Relations at SMU.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm here today with our CFO, Arturo Silva. As usual, we have some slides describing some recent business highlights as well as financial results for the first quarter of the year. Arturo will be happy to take any questions at the end of the call. You can send your questions by chat or raise your hand, and we'll give you those instructions also at the end. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making some forward-looking statements today. As always, please remember to take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number two of our presentation. We've structured the business highlight slides around our three-year strategic plan for 2023 to 2025, with its four key pillars, starting with omnichannel growth on slide number three. In the year to date, we've opened two Unimarc stores, one in Puerto Montt and one in Rancagua, and we also inaugurated our fifth Super 10 store, which we converted from a Mayorista 10. We're also on track with our store opening plan for the remainder of the year, moving forward with the construction of the stores that were in our own pipeline, which include four more Unimarc stores and one Alvi store in Chile, as well as five Maxi Ahorro stores in Peru. We have good news regarding the Montserrat project, because just last week we received the first two stores that meet all the conditions for us to be able to start remodeling, and we expect to receive another seven stores over the next couple of months. Assuming that happens on time and these stores meet the conditions we've defined with Montserrat, such as having the permits in order, we should be able to open those stores over the course of the second half of this year, and the total openings for the remainder of the year would match the plan we have on the slide. An additional four Unimarc stores, two Alvi stores, and three Super 10 stores. In the second half of the year, we should also continue to receive more Montserrat stores to remodel, and those will be opened in 2024. With respect to our online business on slide four, we've continued to ramp up the utilization of the Robotic Micro-Fulfillment Center, or MFC, that we inaugurated last November, and adding new municipalities to the coverage zone so that we are now serving 42% of the target Santiago metro region area using the MFC. This means that a greater number of orders are benefiting from this technology, which increases the completeness and accuracy of orders, thereby improving the customer experience. It also optimizes the picking process, adding efficiency to the operation, as having robots do the work allows us to pick orders much faster than having a person going up and down the aisles of the store. We've also been adding click and collect pickup points to select stores. As we said when we launched the 2023 to 2025 plan, our goal isn't to have click and collect everywhere. We're targeting locations where we think customers will benefit from having this option. In recent months, we've added click and collect at five new Unimarc stores, and we're also piloting the system with Alvi. On the next slide, we move on to the customer experience pillar of our plan. Understanding our customers and serving their needs is essential to our business and the core commercial strategy that we have defined to differentiate ourselves from the competition is a high-low strategy, intense, high-frequency promotional activity. We defined this strategy nearly 10 years ago, and we have built up a deep expertise in designing and implementing promotions in a way that benefits both customers and participating suppliers. This expertise allows us to adapt our promotional strategy depending on customer needs, which is something that we definitely saw over the course of the pandemic with rapid changes in preferences. This year, we continue to see that consumers are highly sensitive to price as they aim to maximize their family budget. Therefore, we continue to apply our expertise by innovating in our promotional strategy. Last year, we launched the Path to Savings or Ruta del Ahorro campaign to help customers identify savings on basic products. That campaign gained traction, and we are building on it in order to give more visibility to savings across different types of promotions. We're also leveraging our multi-format strategy and adding promotions at Mayorista 10 that at times mirror the Unimarc campaigns. For example, one of the iconic campaigns at Unimarc is Red Friday, which focuses on meat and wine, and we've added a similar promotion for Mayorista 10. On the next slide, another example of how we seek to improve the customer experience is a recent event we held for ALVI's B2B customers, the Encuentro de Socios ALVI, or the Club ALVI Expo, as I have decided to call it. Over 6,000 members of Club ALVI came to the event, and they were able to meet with over 35 suppliers and 80 major brands. By giving our B2B customers these benefits, we aim to build loyalty to ALVI while we create value for these customers, helping them to discover new products and assortments so they can grow their businesses. On slide 7, another element of our customer experience strategy is to continue growing our private label offering, providing customers with excellent quality at attractive prices. In the first quarter of the year, we added over 50 new products in different categories and under different specialty brands. Following last year's strong performance, we continue to see strong sales growth with an increase of 27% over the first quarter of 2022. On slide 8, the third pillar of our strategic plan targets efficiency and productivity. And in the year to date, we've continued to make progress on initiatives focused on in-store efficiency and logistics efficiency. Specifically, we've continued to roll out our efficient operating model to a third group of Unimarc stores for a total of 151 stores. This model contributes to better in-store products availability with more frequent deliveries from our distribution centers and more efficient replenishment. We've also added more self-service modules, such as self-checkouts, as you can see in the picture on the slide. Customers enjoy the speedy checkout experience. In terms of logistics, we've expanded coverage of our Blue Yonder automated demand planning tool to cover new product categories. Last year, we were using this tool for fruits and vegetables, and now we've added meat. Our experience with Blue Yonder has been that this more accurate forecasting contributes to higher in-stock levels and lower shrinkage. Finally, as a result of our different initiatives, sales per full-time equivalent improved 8.2% in the first quarter, outpacing revenue growth and thereby demonstrating productivity gains. On slide 9, we thought we would highlight a couple of initiatives related to caring for the environment, which are part of the fourth pillar of our plan, committed and sustainable organization, but they also contribute to efficiency and productivity and to customer experience, which is why we've also included those little icons on the slide. Starting with the first picture, we recently obtained the Energy Sustainability Agency's Giro Limpio, or Clean Business, certification as a company that generates cargo. As part of our commitment to climate action, we've been encouraging the transport companies that we work with to adopt technologies to improve energy performance. We've been able to get 70% of the transportation fleet we hire to join this program, and we've been helping them in their own certification process. The second picture relates to our private label strategy, where we're working to promote recyclable packaging and getting more products certified under the eco-labeling seal. Under the Clean Production Agreement, we had set commitments and targets related to this initiative, and we've been meeting those targets, which is how we obtained this Estrella Azul, or Blue Star, certification. Going on to the numbers on slide number 10, we have revenue and same-store sales for the first quarter of 2023. We had top-line growth of 5.9% in the period, 5.8% in Chile, in line with the Chilean food retail industry, which grew by 5.5%, according to the National Statistics Institute of Chile. The comparison base was challenging, as in the first quarter of last year, consumer behavior was still reflecting the high liquidity that had characterized the year 2021, so customers tended to prefer more sophisticated product assortments. In the subsequent quarters, we saw a shift in consumer behavior, where people became more sensitive to price due to higher levels of inflation. The situation in the first quarter of this year and continues to be the case today. This quarter, we continue to see a recovery in customer traffic and strong performance in soft discount and cash and carry stores, where revenue increased 11.5%. And that's what was driving overall revenue growth. On the gross margin side, we had an increase of 130 basis points, which meant an increase of 10.3% in gross profit, reflecting improvements in commercial efficiency. On the right-hand side of the slide, we have our consolidated same-store sales growth for the first quarter of this year and last year, where the high comparison base is very clear. Same-store sales growth last year was 17.1%, and this year it was 4.2%. On the next slide, we have operating expenses, which grew 13.6% in the quarter. The two main drivers behind the increase are the high minimum wage, which increased 17.1% year over year, affecting both personnel expenses and the cost of services, and accumulated annual inflation that also affects personnel expenses and the cost of services, as well as leases and distribution costs. Operating expenses as a percentage of revenue increased 150 basis points compared to the first quarter of 2022. Moving on to slide 12, we have EBITDA, which grew 3.7% in the quarter despite the high comparison base in the first quarter of 2022. We also had a very high comparison base for EBITDA margin, which was 9.8% in the first quarter of last year. The expansion in gross margin helped offset the growth in expenses, which means despite this tough comparison, EBITDA margin was 9.6% this year, only 20 basis points lower than last year, and still well above our 9% long-term target. On the next slide, we have net income, where the year-over-year comparison is basically entirely explained by two factors. First, the sale of OK Market had a total impact of 20.8 billion pesos, including pre-tax and tax. On the right side, there we go, sorry. The year-over-year comparison in net income was basically explained by the sale of OK Market, which was a 20.8 billion peso impact, and that includes pre-tax and tax effects. And then the gain on the sale of OK Market also, excluding that gain, our pre-tax income was 4 billion pesos higher this year. That's an improvement of 17%. That also means a higher income tax of approximately 1.1 billion, 27% of that 4 billion peso improvement. The other factor behind the decrease in net income is the fact that inflation was lower in the first quarter of this year, which meant lower inflation adjustments to deferred taxes. That accounts for about 9.5 billion pesos of the difference year over year. On slide 14, we continue to show a very attractive dividend yield of 11.6%, which is lower than the 2022 yield because the share price went up about 25% in those 3 months, as you can see in the graph below. The return on equity was 12.9% for the 12 months to March 2023, also lower than 2022. In this case, due to the fact that net income for 2022 includes the one-off from the sale of OK Market, whereas the 12 months to March does not include that amount. However, we are still in the double digits. On the next slide, we have financial ratios, including as-reported figures, as well as figures that are adjusted for store rental expenses. On the left, net financial liabilities to EBITDA, including store rentals, has improved from 3.9 times in 2021 to 3.3 times in March. The same downward trend is true when we adjust for store rentals, but in this case, the ratio was 2.7 times in 2021 and is now down to 2.1 times. On the right, net interest coverage as reported, we were up from 4.9 times in 2021 to 6.6 times in March of this year. And when we make the adjustment for EBITDA and interest expense for the store rentals, we had coverage of 9.5 times in 2021, and that was up to 20.4 times in March. Then on slide 16, we have our bond covenants, where we continue to have plenty of flexibility. Net financial debt to equity is at 0.49 times, well below the 1.03 limit, and interest coverage is up to 6.6 times, well above the 2.5 times requirement. On slide 17, we have a summary of our cash flows for the first quarter of 2023. Our operating cash generation was 73 billion, which enabled us to pay financial debt maturities and CapEx without taking on new financing. And even so, we ended the quarter with a balance of 136 billion pesos, which is an increase of approximately 11 billion and well above the minimum cash balance that we'd like to have on hand, which is 50 billion pesos. This solid cash position means that we're very comfortable with our debt maturity profile, which we've also included on the same slide. We should continue to pay down debt during this quarter, and we also have two dividend payments, the final dividend that we paid in April and the interim dividend that will be paid in June. On the next slide, we have an update on our credit rating. Both of our credit ratings, ICR and Fellow Rate, recently completed their annual review process following the publication of our 2022 financial statements, and they both decided to improve the outlook on our rating from stable to positive, confirming the A-plus category. The reason they gave for the change in outlook was the sustained improvement in operating and financial results. And as we saw on the preceding slides, we've continued to deliver on our strategic plan and to strengthen our financial position in the first quarter of this year. So that's it for our presentation. Thanks for listening. And if there are any questions, we'll be happy to take those now.
Thank you. We'll now move to the question and answer section. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 2 on your phone and wait to be prompted. If you're dialed in by web, you can either type your question in the box provided or request to ask a voice question. We'll now wait a moment or two for questions to come in.
Okay, we have quite a few questions.
We have two questions.
We have some chat questions, and we've got some hands raised. So we start with Alonso?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, Alonso, we will unmute you. Okay, go ahead, Alonso, thanks.
Okay, hi, good morning. Yes, two questions on my side. First, I wanted to ask you if you can give some color on your gross margin improvement. You talk about commercial efficiencies. Maybe you can give us some examples of what exactly you're doing. The gross margin this quarter was I think, the best gross margin you've had in a first quarter. So if you can give us some color on that. And my second question is on your expectations for top-line growth. With comps being more difficult, what are you expecting on revenue growth, right? Is it this mid-single digit growth that you posted in the first quarter, or is it maybe potentially higher given the openings? Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Alonso. First question about the gross margin. Indeed, we increased the gross margin in the first quarter. And we explained in the fourth quarter as well that the gross margin of the company was increasing, and we are expecting for the second quarter of this year to keep this level of gross margin, because absolutely possible, because we are financing the promotional activities through the suppliers. We are financing the promotion without problem, because they can improve the your sales as well, and that is the main reason included in this comment of commercial efficiency. Okay, and the second questions and our expectation is to keep the level of gross margin of the first quarter. And the second question about top line is the sales and growth. We're expecting in April and May, the level of growth is similar of the first quarter, with this and also growing more the discount format more than Unimart. But probably we are expecting in May and June even a little bit better, because the impulse of the government in the delivering the winter bonus, and also the basic food wallet for 1.5 billion people in Chile will be an impulse to receive more sales probably in May for the winter bonus, and the wallet, the electronic wallet for the food basic product for the rest of the year. Therefore, I think for this reason, in May and June, the growth in sales could be better. But until now, the growth is very similar with the first quarter.
Thank you, Arturo.
Great, thanks, Alonso. And we also have a question from Eduardo Salvo. Unmute you. I'm having some trouble unmuting Eduardo. I don't know if Luis, if you can help us.
Sure, one moment.
In the meantime, I guess maybe we can take a couple of other chat questions.
We received two questions about the insurance payment. the current process in the insurance payment is we're in the arbitration process. We present the demand in the end of March, and now the counterpart will present the defense until May 24th, and we our arguments are very good in us because we think that we have coverage and also the amount of the claim is higher than our number in the accounting because it's in US, therefore is this amount has an adjustment every month for the inflation. It's another question, in fact. And also we are claiming the interest for the time of the delay in the payment. We think that we have a very good chance to receive this amount in the arbitration process. But it's a long process, of course, because it's very difficult to give an estimation of the timing, but or prediction timing, but could be in 1 year or more time, depending on the arbitration process. But our chance to receive the money is very, very high, and for the reason we keep the amount in the county, but in Chilean pesos, not including the inflation adjustment. The another question is about of the negative inflation. How possible is this food inflation to decrease? In the history, never the food inflation in 1 year in the long period decreased. Probably in 1 month is possible, like the general inflation as well. But that for this reason we are not expecting decrease in the food inflation in general, but could be in some specific product. In fact, in February and March, we had a reduction of price in a specific products, but not for the full assortment that we have. Therefore, we are not, in general, the food inflation is 1 or 2 percent more percent point more than general inflation. Therefore, that is the regular behavior of the food inflation. We are not expecting the negative food inflation for 12 months. Another question, same for sale of Unimark.
Yep.
Decline. In fact, we are growing less than last year because, especially in the first quarter, we had an important effect in the summer period because the lower liquidity of the people and also the fire in the south of the country affect the demand in the regions. And the summer, where the people enjoy the summer or the vacation in these areas. You know that the Unimar has more market share in these areas, and therefore in summer we have a more market share on average because people travel from Santiago to the northern or southern part of Chile in the vacation period. But for the inflation and the income effect in the population, and also for the fire effect in the southern part of Chile, affect the demand in these areas. And for this reason, Unimar in this year didn't receive this additional demand in the first quarter, and for the reason behind the center sales. But we are expecting a recuperate part of the growth in the second quarter and in the rest of the year.
And we still haven't been able to unmute Eduardo, but Eduardo, maybe you want to send your question by chat. in the meantime, and then in the meantime we can take the Montserrat.
Update of Montserrat. We are receiving the stores. So we received two stores in the last 2 weeks, and we will receive another 7 stores in May and June. And the idea is to remodel this store in the next 3 or 4 months, with the idea to have open Montserrat stores or this project in the end of this year in the Q4. And full sales and EBITDA in the next year. Also, we will receive additional stores in the second half of this year, but probably we will finish the remodel of these stores in the first quarter of 2024, and another store with the idea to complete 100% of the store remodelation and opening of the full amount of stores in the end of 2024, as we comment in the last meeting.
Another question here from Peter about labor inflation.
Labor inflation. Okay. No doubt the labor inflation and the cost and the minimum for the minimum minimal salary increase, of course, an important produce an important pressure in our expenses. But the company is investing in the technological tools in the stores and also in the distribution sector and logistics, with the idea to compensate and be the increase of salaries with productivity. In fact, we are reducing our headcount in the first quarter. In fact, we reduced our headcount. And the idea is to mitigate this inflation of salary in the next months for through this productivity increase. This impact also is for the industry, and it's not for SMU. Therefore, part of this cost could be passed for the margin as well, in the margin as well. Therefore, the idea is that it's possible to dilute part of these expenses with more sales because the performance of the company in terms of sales is good, with the idea to keep the gross the EBITDA margin. In fact, in the second quarter, we're expecting to keep the level of EBITDA margin of Q1, and in this case, will be much better than the EBITDA margin of the second quarter of 2022, because we think that it's possible to compensate through productivity and also with the dilution of expenses through the sales growth.
Great. It looks like that was our last question. Luis, are you seeing any more questions? I don't see any more, so I think that's it. Thanks everybody for joining us today. If you have questions that you didn't get to here, please feel free to get in touch with us.
Thank you everyone that has joined. This concludes the call. Have a nice day.